You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Walking with me today on this journey of life. We are travelers together. We walk the road. Sometimes we're putting our foot, one foot in front of another, just leaping and jumping and bounding and skipping. And it's great. Other times we're kind of dragging along, helping each other along. So wherever place you're in this morning, just get your coffee and, you know, or lunch, wherever you're at, doesn't matter. If it's raining, get cozy. If it's And if it's sunny, then find shelter and just have a great morning. It's really hard to do sometime. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about going forward. What's your plan? And I'm just, you know, it's like in collecting my thoughts this morning, I was kind of all over the board. I go all over the board anyway, as most of you already know. But I was all over the board. I'm thinking, you know, how do I approach this concept that is not new to me, that there is a purpose in life? I listen. Not only do I listen to God, but I listen to all those people that I learn about or come or just happen to find out about or walk before me or who are walking with me right now, who find their purpose. And most people will come to the conclusion. Some say, well, yeah, you know, I knew it since I was a kid. And they're talking a lot about their vocation, their particular talent, perhaps how they're going to make their living. Sometimes it's about their families. And most people, I would say, most people under that bell curve are at any point, given point in time, is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this where I'm supposed to be? What is going on here? What is my purpose? Things fall short. They get stale. You think your family is your purpose and it falls apart. You think that your talent is your purpose. And then let's say you're a gymnast and you break a leg and you can never do that again. Or you're a dancer and you irreparably ruin your knee. And then you think your life is over or that your actual purpose, as if there was only one, is over. So we're going to talk today about purpose, about how to accept the unknown. And listen, I'm learning this along with you. So I like to look at the people who have seen a lot of people who are, I consider, experts on these journeys are people, as I've told you so many times, people with minimum wage jobs or no jobs at all, people who write books, whoever is out there who is authentic, whoever out there is humble, whoever out there is, and that does not mean not successful, it means humble, humble of heart. Remember, we heard the word meek and its Greek origin, and the Greek origin involves strength. Harnessing the strength, giving your strength to your master. And that's a really, really lovely thing. And our master is not at this point to be the person we work for or a spouse. It's God. And we're kind of all on board with that, I think, at this point. So let's start out today, maybe a little differently, with a couple of proverbs and then a little story that happened yesterday. So let's go toward Proverbs, let's go through Jeremiah first. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, this isn't just in the book of lessons from ages 1 to 12. This is for all time, all people, anywhere. It's for Abraham at 100. It's for Lazarus. It is for the person that comes up to Jesus at the well. It is for the hemorrhaging woman. It's for Mary Magdalene. It's for Peter. It's for you. It's for me. It's for your children. It's for every being on this earth. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So, what is, fast forward a couple thousand years, a few thousand years, and let's see what Soren Kierkegaard has to say. Soren Kierkegaard, the great philosopher, said, "It is perfectly true as philosophers say." I'm having such trouble with my words this morning. I think I need to go back and do some warm-up or something. "It is perfectly true, as philosophers say, that life must be understood backwards, but they forget the other proposition, that it must be lived forwards." And then he goes on to say, "There are two ways to be fooled. One is to believe what isn't true. The other is to refuse to believe what is true." And we're having a Kierkegaard moment right now. "The most common form of despair is not knowing who you are." I'm going to keep going on with him because, you know, the thing is, Kierkegaard actually had a lot of mental health issues. He had a lot of depression. And he was a great, great philosopher. And you can look in one way and go, oh, well, maybe he was a great philosopher and is actually a very spiritual person. He also goes on to say, "What labels me negates me." We're going to take these as building blocks, actually, to, along with a few biblical quotes, we're going to take these as building blocks in how to find your purpose, how to accept the unknown as part of his plan. That's really important. How do you accept the unknown as part of a plan? Kind of by definition, you're building in the unknown into a plan, but it's a weird plan to have no plan, but it's a plan. So how to banish regret when things don't work out the way you planned? How do you banish regret when things seem like they're a plan and they blow up? Resentment. We're going to talk a little about resentment. That resentment, in essence, is saying no to God's plan. We're going to look at the etymology of the word resentment. See, where did it come from? And why is it so easy for us to fall into it? So we're going to look at all that. But we're going to prelude this with some Soren Kierkegaard, some more Soren Kierkegaard. He says, "The greatest hazard of all, losing oneself, can occur very quickly in the world, as if it were nothing at all. No other loss can occur so quietly. Any other loss, an arm, a leg, $5, a wife, is surely to be noticed." So this is something that, of course, I want you to take really to heart. The greatest hazard of all is losing oneself. And it can occur very quickly and quietly in the world, as if nothing at all. So in other words, if you are at a place where you were hoping for a bolt of lightning, or you were hoping for, you thought you had the plan, you thought you were living the plan, and everything is completely not what you thought, or you think you're too old for a plan. I'm going to just throw Abraham out there for just a second. You think you're too old for a plan, or you think you're too old for change of plans. Yes, we have cliches. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. No, too set in your ways. I don't believe those. I believe you can teach an old dog new tricks. I can believe that the dogs carry scars, and we're not dogs, number one. But number two, scars, as Miranda Lambert says, they come in all shapes and sizes. They're there, but they're also mile markers. They're milestones of our life. They're things that happen to us. I had two guys, during just feeding of the homeless, who came in, and one guy had freshly been out of surgery because he had a bunch of scars because he'd been in a stabbing. So he's showing the scars, thinking that he might need some help getting to an emergency room or someplace because he wasn't feeling well and he didn't know whether they were infected. And then another guy standing next to him who was trying to caretake a little bit, and he was showing his scars. And he had his whole abdomen was just a series of scars, a series of where he had the surgeries, a series of where he had been shot. And his statement, or his talk about they were all healed, was the fact that he was out hunting in North Carolina and he got shot by accident. And so forever, he's carrying around the entry and exit wounds of a bullet. He's carrying around a deep, 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 deep scar down his abdomen. Young guy. And he's carrying around the memory of what happened. He's also carrying around what he had to go through in getting those wounds to heal over. They didn't heal and disappear. But the very scars he carried helped another fellow traveler, another fellow homeless person who was feeling a little dizzy, who just gotten out of the hospital 2 days ago from having a very different kind of wound, but an abdominal wound nonetheless, one that he was worried about, one that he was frightened about. So you see these scars and these wounds that we carry around, they have to be dealt with. They won't go away. But at the same time, they can be our stepping stones to God's new and improved purpose for you. So when we come back from the break, we're going to look at Philippians and a few other things. Look at how you can accept the unknown, even if you're 85 or 90, 91, 92. You can accept the unknown as part of your plan. Abraham was not a spring chicken when his beginning of his new plan came about. And look where we're all at now, just because of that plan at the age of over 100. So y'all get your coffee. If you're early on the West Coast, wake up a little bit. If you're having lunch, great. Enjoy. Be safe. We will see you on the other side of the break.
Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media.
You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
We're walking this road of life together, fellow travelers. And if you heard me have, you may not have, but if you heard me give a big explanation out into the universe here, it's because Mozart, my handy dandy German shepherd with scars, both physically and emotionally, yes, you, decided that it's time to play with a stick. And he always is very good knowing that this is my time. But today he's found the stick. And he said, no, we're not playing with the stick. And he is tenacious with that stick. Should we be so tenacious with our movement forward? He's made a decision. He sees the stick. Time to get the stick. I'm getting the stick. And we're playing. She doesn't want to play. Well, I'll just hang out with the stick for a little while. So we need to be more like asking the animals as God directs us in Job 12:7. I never tire of that. So let's talk about Mozart for a while and Kierkegaard, the philosopher Kierkegaard, and the composer Mozart, my own very dog. Mozart, like all of us and like many dogs and cats and animals on the world and the planet today, they have some things in common with us, and they have some things, and then we have things they don't have. And some of those things are awesome, and some of those things hang us up big time. So I look at someone, something, some being like a Mozart. And this dog, we don't know his past. And it couldn't, at one point, that is the stick. You all hear the stick. Hold on, I'm sorry. No, lay down. Go lay down. Lay down. Good boy. See, now if God were doing that to us, do we do that? No. No, we don't. Now, he doesn't think, well, I'll lay down and eventually I'll get the stick. Or if I lay down, I'll get $1 million. Or if I lay down, she's going to give us a new house, or she's going to give me a companion, or I will have the kind of food I want forever, or I'll have dried lamb liver. He's not bargaining with me. Now, sometimes he does, but he's not bargaining with me. He's just laying down because I told him to do that. And for whatever reason, our bonding experience is... Now, is it that he trusts me forever? He's a dog. He's a being. He won't, you know, he doesn't. But we're getting our bond. We're getting our thing going. Now, he's very reticent sometimes about that bond. I want you to put yourself in, I put myself in a dog's place. So I'm asking you maybe not to be like my dog, but I think, Jennifer just wrote to me, you need to talk about Beethoven instead. So I don't know if she means the dog Beethoven or if she means the composer or both. So anyway, so here we are. She's letting me know. So here we are looking at our life in front of us. And it's true. She says, every time you talk about the composer Mozart, the dog comes. And it's so true. When I just say the name Mozart, he does come up. And so that is a pretty funny thing. And again, wouldn't it be great if every time God said our name or looked at us or did a little finger motion like I can do with Mozart, that we came up and just sat there. Oh, okay, what do you want me to do now? What do you want? I know that something is important here. And many, many times, my dog doesn't get a treat. Mozart doesn't get a treat. He doesn't get his stick. He doesn't get a pet. He doesn't get anything. He does it because I tell him to do it. And sometimes he does get a treat. God treats us like that. In his image and likeness, we aren't dogs. I'm not saying we are. Some people would say we are. When we talk about I read it the other day. It was actually a doctor who was talking, saying something about I can't remember how they put it, but something like our four-legged humans. And it's like, wait a minute, our four-legged humans might be a crawling baby, but even then we're not four-legged. All right, so let's get back to reality here. I am going around the board. I need way more coffee than I have. So here's where I will tell you a little bit. First we're going to go to Philippians. We're going to talk about looking backward, and we're going to talk about going forward, because I love looking backward, and it's so wrong, but I do. That's what I do. It's what I've known to do. As someone said yesterday, it's a really exercised muscle. It's a go-to muscle. I like using that muscle. People who use their arms, they want to use their arms. They don't really want to use their legs so much because it feels good to use. It's already worked out, those big arms, if you're always doing the weights with the arms, and you don't really, you walk, but you don't really do the legs so much. You don't really want to start doing presses with your legs. So here's Philippians. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. One thing I do. So he's got this down. Forgetting what lies behind and straining what lies ahead. So here's another thing from Isaiah. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we'll go one more from Ephesians. And I'll repeat these so I can give you the references. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Oh, I got to do one more. Let me do one more. This is Matthew. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. All right, so that is a standalone statement. I'm going to put that, yes, it is complete in what it says. I always, as someone who has watched people actually be harmed by the misinterpretation of this statement, of this particular reading and others, I want to let you know, again, we do not use the Bible. God does not want us to use the Bible to endure abuse. That's put out there right there, physical, mental, verbal. We are not meant to do that, all right? So if you or your spouse or your mother, your father, sister, brother are abusive to one another, to you, you are to your children are to you, wherever it may lay, your employer, none of these are an excuse. You may forgive them, but you must step away. It's your responsibility as part of God's creation to step out of the way of the bullet. You have to be safe. You are not putting down your life for your brother if you stay in an abusive situation. All right. So just I have to put that out. And again, if any of you are, you go and you get some help and you do it now. All right, so we've been looking at Soren Kierkegaard, who was extremely religious as a person. He had his own depressions and anxieties, but he was brilliant as he looked down the staircase of his own angst and his own anxiety. How do we go about? What do we do? Our tendency is to dwell in the past. This is a thing animals don't seem to do. They do remember the past. I am sure, although he cannot tell me, that Mozart, my dog, would, or probably does, bark, cower, freak out when something that I can't discern frightens him. How vulnerable do you feel when something frightens you to your core? But it makes no sense to other people around you. Something gets triggered in you. Your scar is being stretched and it hurts. And you might not even understand it. How much do we then experience those things? So we're not necessarily supposed to be forgetting the past. But we do not. As he said, it is perfectly true, Soren Kierkegaard. As philosophers, we say that life must be understood backwards. But they forget the other proposition. It must be lived forward. So you have a plan. You have a purpose. From this moment forward, you have a purpose. The purpose may be unknown to you. And it's never just one purpose. It is many purposes rolled into one being. So I want you to kind of get that ingested in you. It's hard to do it intellectually because you still want to sit down and say, okay, wait a minute, stop the gibberish, stop the babble, stop the psychology. And I even feel this way. And just give me the plan. As a soldier once said to me, just give me the tools. I just need to know how to do this when I'm faced with jumping into the past, when I'm driving down the street and all of a sudden I'm back in Vietnam. Where's the tool? So we're going to talk about the tools. We're going to talk about how to banish those things, not once and for all. It is a constant, just like you don't once and for all eat a meal. You have to replenish and replenish and replenish. Eliminate what you don't need anymore, the waste. Take what is good. And replenish. And that is all life around you does. Body to the bacteria inside your body. That's what we are meant to do because we are on an ever-changing, ever-evolving world. So get your coffee. Enjoy the day. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking on this road together, Dr. Michelle Live. I have not given you the phone number. I'm sorry. 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4. You've usually heard it about four times by now. You can email me anytime, dmlive@redboxmedia.com. You can get on our website, redboxmedia.com, and you can also get past archives. Any subject you can even imagine, you will find, I promise you, by going on to redboxmedia.podbean.com. So, a lot of little things meshed up into one. It is not easy. You can't do this in an hour. So, we're looking at purpose. Our purpose, one, is to get to the afterlife in the best shape we possibly can. All right, so that's purpose number one. We're promised we can do that. And we're also, oddly, promised, and not so oddly, but mysteriously promised that no matter how bad it gets, with repentance and complete change, it's possible. It's called redemption. Redeem. We redeem. We can do that. And we talk about Christ dying for our sins, yes, but we have huge responsibility because we are still responsible. Again, these are all mysteries. So we don't have the corner. None of us have the corner on figuring that one out. We can describe it. We can say what it means. We can look to people who spend their entire lives looking at biblical interpretations and other people's interpretations. But in the light of day, it's enough, as is told to us many times, that anyone, this is written for anyone. You don't need biblical scholars. You could misinterpret things, of course. But again, this is about being like little children. The answer is within you. The answer is not in your head. It's not always complicated. I like to see what other people say, both the most intelligent people on the world that I can hardly grasp their words, down to someone who has a very low IQ, who's living the word right in front of me. So these things are all, the world is your teacher and you are other people's teachers. So how do we accept the unknown as part of our purpose? Well, first of all, what we'll do today is I want to lay some ground rules. Your purpose is in motion. You're a work in progress. Your purpose is a work in progress. All the little parts of any bridge, any building, any landscape, any national park, any dam, anything has to have parts that don't look like its final product. So when you're beginning, let's say you have been, I have not done this, but you're building your dream house or you've built your dream house. When you start out, it doesn't really look like your dream house, does it? It looks like ground. Or it looks like rocky ground that has no way of getting a shovel into it. Or it looks like some kind of odd discovery underneath that makes you have to go around or find another plot. You never have your finished product right in front of you. So you are never going to be a finished product. It is just not going to happen. So you are a work in progress. So accept that. I am a work in progress. I submit that I am a work in progress. I submit that. I submit to that. I don't command it. I don't steer it. I am a work in progress. And in order to be a work in progress, just like I look at and look at the people around you, look at your children, look at other people's children if you don't have children. Look at your pets, your animals, look at the world, look at a bridge, whatever works for you. Look at the work in progress. Look at the planning stages. How many times do you hear when you buy a house, let's say, that people lose their houses at closing. Things fall apart at the closing. You have signed every document. You crossed every T, dotted every I. And yet something occurs. Something out of the blue hits you. You plan your retirement. All of a sudden, it's gone. Seen it happen. I've seen it happen to the most intelligent people. Well, look at Bernie Madoff. Look at all the people that he fooled. Very, very wise people. Not just, you know, we can distance ourselves from that, but, you know, predator's a predator. I know people started out to be a dentist and reached in one day to grab something out of a duffel bag and was bitten by a brown recluse spider and lost their hand. So, you know, things just happen. They do. So we have to submit to the fact that we are a work in progress and that at every step in the way, we are a new creation. Every day you are a new creation. So accept that too. Also accept as part of the package is our tendency and our apparatus. We're built with the apparatus that we can harbor resentment, angers, wraths, just the things we just saw in the biblical that said, don't do these things. But that's, he said, I got rid of these things. This is what I know. I'm imparting this to you. He didn't say you should already be there. He said, this is what I know. Now, this is an apostle, and by definition, and a disciple, and by definition, when they were called way back then, they had pretty darn sketchy lives. And they had angers, resentments, wraths, wrongdoings, killings, drinkings, adultering, you know, just adultery. I don't know if that's a word. Adulterous lives, deaths, destructions. I mean, they really had it all. So, you know, you can't just pass go and get there. Nobody did. Nobody did. So we have to accept that we are who we are. We have scars. If you're listening to this program and you are over a certain age, you probably, even if you're really young, you probably have some scars somewhere. And those are all helped. They're there to make you grow. They're there to make sure you don't put your hand back on the stove. But if you do, that you are reminded, oh, I got a scar there. I remember when that happened. So I have one on my arm. I just looked out the other day as I'm doing my volunteer work, and I get another one as I reach into the oven to see if the giant pot of food is done. I burned myself. And as I burn myself in that arm and I'm looking at it and I turn my arm over and I see a very large scar that I did, 8-9 years ago, when right before my son got married, and I reached in, was baking some chicken. And all of a sudden I thought, something's not right here. And I had this huge, huge, huge burn. So it's there to remind me. Now, it didn't work so good the other day, but it's there to remind me. So when you live in a place where you're stuck, let's say you're stuck in saying, I am making this work no matter what. Now, there's good ways to do that and not good ways. If you're doing this to keep love alive, because that's the antidote to all these things is true, not stuck in a bad, abusive situation type of love, but love, true love. You may have to leave someone or something in order to truly love, because you must love God. And therefore, you know that He wants you to walk a path of purpose for you. One thing you cannot do, you will do this, and I will do it. I've tried them all, but it won't work, about having those angers and resentments come up in you, is ignore them. Pretend that they will go away forever. Fight through them. Put them away, like you lock them in a basement or a closet, or pretend you don't feel them, or that you try to forget them. When you try, it's like that game I told you all about. I can't remember which. I think it might have been Chesterton, maybe, who was talking about a game that he used to play with his brother. I'm not sure who it was now, where they would Their game was go sit in a corner and try not to think of a white elephant. Well, of course you're going to think about it. Even talking about this, I can think about things in my own life. So you can't, you have to see that. What you need to do is face them. Yes, they're there. Feel them. They hurt like heck. Deal with them. If you can deal with them, if you can stand up for yourself, if you can confront the person, if you can deal with them in a manner of, even if it's just in therapy with a priest, being absolved of your sin does not make you forget what happened to you. And you need to heal from them. You can't fake it till you make it. As I told you about the guys in the beginning of the program, the ones with the scars, they are healed from them. The scars are still there. And if it comes up, they can lift up their shirts and say, this is how it happened. This is when it happened. This is how much it hurt. This is how, what my healing process was. This is what you don't do. This is what you do. You do. And this is what I did that caused me to have to go back and reheal. So all those things are awesome. But 9 times out of 10, they're walking around in their day. It's water under the bridge. It's old news. They laugh. They talk. They eat. They form relationships, but they still carry their scar. Remember, it's a process. Sometimes it gets worse in your most vulnerable times or tired times, but it is a process, and it requires that you open to it. You accept it as part of your path. We'll talk about the plan on the other side of the break. 5 7 3, over it.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today and my little allergy voice on Dr. Michelle Live. We're walking this road together. So we're talking about purpose, talking about things that stop purpose, talking about embracing purpose. And again, don't embrace purpose because we then direct our own show. We're not the directors. There's no ballet in the world where the ballerina or the ballet, the corps de ballet, the group of people that dance that aren't the stars. There are those ballet stars that do choreograph, but there isn't, and movies, same thing. But, you know, rarely do we have everybody directing the program, the show, the movie. We don't. We can't do it all. But sometimes we beat ourselves up because we don't do it all, or because we don't take the things that hurt us over and over and over again. And do you understand that if you're in a situation where you're getting hurt over and over and over again, if you're 15 and you have a parent who puts you in double binds over and over and over and over again, if you're 15 and you have a parent who just doesn't ever like what you do over and over again, or who embarrasses you in front of people over and over again, or is inappropriate in front of you, even though they may not, in your mind, cross a line. This keeps you in a very bad place, akin to the cesspool of resentment. So if you were ever that person, you learn that that's just comfortable for you. That's a muscle you know. How do we break out of that? One of that is accepting that the unknown is a part of our awesome plan. The unknown is part of our awesome plan. That's scary. It's very scary. Now, How does resentment and living in the past prevent us from going? Well, that's pretty obvious. We live in the past. We can't go into the future because we live in the past. We in the full light of day. This little exercise you can do while you start going down a road that will lead to those bad feelings inside, as if you, what you're trying to do is you are trying to replay so you can fix it. You're trying to think about something so you can have a different outcome, because reality is very ethereal. I know I'm sounding kind of out there in the stratosphere, but when you do believe there is no time, God has no time, everything is supernatural anyway. We have a natural world, but our life is supernatural. We have to understand that we have the apparatus, we have the machinery and the mechanisms in which to rethink a plan, don't we? So if you went out to put in a sprinkler system and you did it all and you turned it on, you have to rethink it, don't you, in order to make it work. And you might have to do it 10, 15, 20 times. I've talked to dog trainers who spend months every night rethinking what is going on with a particular dog, staying up all night long, rethinking every path because they want a better outcome. Well, we have that apparatus, but we tend to do it with things that are gone. We can't have a better outcome. If somebody leaves you and they leave you and they are remarried or they're gone, they're your children, they should have left you, or they're dead, you cannot change what occurred. You can't change what occurred anyway. But if there's a way to fix it, and chances are a lot of it is not just by intellect alone. So where does the word resent comes from? It says in the Online Etymology Dictionary, which is a very small little, it's not very complete, but it says, and doesn't go back that far really, as the verb resent, it means to take something ill. So to take ill, but to take a thing ill, be in some degree angry or provoked at, and that's from circa 600 from the French ressentir, which I'm sure I didn't pronounce well, which means feel pain, regret. From the old French ressentir, feel again, feel in turn, and that's from the 13th century. From re, meaning an intensive prefix, sentire, to feel. From the Latin sentire, so I can't pronounce it, so we'll forget it, S-E-N-T-I-R-E, which means sense. In other words, re-sense, re-feel intensely. All right, so this is all what resent is, to re-feel intensely. Now, we don't resent joy. Right? It's not usually, we don't take it to mean that it is a joyful feeling. We take it to mean that it's a very bad feeling. But whatever it is, we are redoing it. We're redoing it. It's like, remember when you took art and they said, leave it alone when it's good. Don't keep redoing the same spot. Don't keep scrubbing the same spot. Why? Because you're going to deteriorate it. You're going to ruin it. You're going to, whatever you do in the same spot over and over and over again is going to harm that spot. So we have to remember that. You can tend to live there. So an exercise is to, in the full light of day, when you start to go down that road, imagine yourself in the full light of day. If you want to do this, I'm going to give you a reverse exercise as well. But you imagine yourself walking in this beautiful pasture, beautiful garden, and actually choosing, see, an old, scary, smelly, dark, infested, black widow, spider-webbed 1700s graveyard with a creaky gate, and choose to say, I'm going to leave this beautiful valley, this beautiful pasture, and I'm going to walk in there. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to find a grave that I know very well. And I'm going to dig it up. Some really awful thing that's in the past that hurt like heck. And I'm going to sit down, take my little shovel, and I'm going to dig it up. And then I'm just going to sit around and play with the corpse. And it's absurd. You can laugh. you can say, no, I don't want to do that. So what's a better alternative? Here's another exercise. You turn your back on the graveyard. You look toward the sun. You feel the sun. And you feel it calling. You want a better feeling. So you go more toward the sun, toward the warmth. Maybe you need a little shade. Maybe you see some beautiful flowers over there you'd like to smell, you'd like to be part of, you'd like to see the fragrance. You see a beautiful rose garden. You want to walk there instead. That's where you go in your mind. So it's a good little exercise to get you away. Again, you're not ignoring. You're choosing not to go into that graveyard. So you know what's in there. You know you've been there before. So you don't pretend it didn't exist, because you still will be stuck. Your heart, remember we've been talking about the heart. Your heart will know that you're lying to yourself. You do not want to lie to yourself. You want to be honest with yourself. You don't want to pretend, because you will always know when you're pretending, and it will catch up with you. Mother Nature always has its way. And supernatural nature always has its way, because supernatural says, the truth will set you free. Mother Nature says, yeah, this truth, listen to him. The truth will set you free. And I'm here to do stuff to remind you to stop lying to yourself. Stop pretending. Because I will come out in one way. I will come out in anger, resentment, depression, sadness, a physical illness, cancer. We already know these links. We talked about anxiety causing heart disease. Remember, physical things can cause it. Illnesses in the womb can cause it. But you know that. And so you can deal with it. That is what will keep you from constantly thinking it's something else. It's not seeing the truth. The truth is, I was premature at birth. I have this tendency toward depression, anxiety. My heart doesn't seem to quite work like other people's. I have to take care of myself physically. I have to take care of myself mentally. I have to understand that when I feel scared, it just might be my thyroid acting up again. That's my warning sign. I'm going to give you a quick little story with my own father, who this didn't happen. He had a kidney disease back when I was 10 years old. Didn't seem to impair his life much other than for about 2 years, but he had a kidney disease. And from that, he has an issue all the time, from being a young man to now in his 90s, of urinary tract infections. It always changed. The kidneys always acted up. They usually did what they would do with most of us, give you pain. So what in the world happened to him now? It changed over time. And here are his symptoms. When my father, and I have to tell people this all the time, if he's telling you he's got pain, it's way back, and he's very together. It's very advanced. He gets depressed and he starts feeling hopeless. That's my tip off. Oh yeah, my dad's got a urinary tract infection. Check his urine. And sure enough, there it is, time after time after time after again. So it's good to know yourself. Tomorrow, we're going to go further into, now that you've opened up, and now that you're accepting the unknown as part of your of God's plan, and that you have to understand, yep, you got a past. We have to not live there. But now we must also, we must understand the past, as Kierkegaard said, but don't forget that the proposition is to live forward. Know what St. Paul says is that he's straining to go forward, but he doesn't live in the past. And how you have right today, I want you to face the sunshine and make decisions and choices in the full light of day to open up to your purpose. We will see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.